Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at petsofinancial.net. You know, it's interesting as we think about the market, we think about how upside down this world is. And I think the markets reflect perfectly how upside down things are and how upside down markets are. I'm going to talk about this a lot in the second hour, but I just want to touch on it now. We just had a fantastic quarter. Kinda. Right? I mean, especially for tech stocks. 17%. But I thought this was the time of value stocks, not tech. And for definition, value are those companies that tend to pay dividends, and they're kind of older industry types of things, a Dow Chemical, an energy company, you know, things like that. But we were supposed to have tech stocks dead in a rising interest rate environment. And it was okay to buy value stocks because they pay dividends and yada, yada. Now it's their turn to run. And once again, all the experts were wrong. Weird. Gosh, I thought they kind of knew stuff. They knew what parts of the market to invest in. They talk like they do. They seem to, because, you know, they are paraded around on TV as super experts and know stuff. And this is really what happens every time. Every time. The idea that we know what's working in the market tomorrow is absurd. We don't. And constantly it's being proven over and over and over again. All the time. The market makes people look silly. And yet we roll to the next punch. We just roll. The same experts that haven't been right about the future forever. We parade around and they divine incorrectly what's going to happen. And then the market goes about proving people wrong all the time. Does a pretty good job of it too, doesn't it? 17%. 17% is a great year, let alone a quarter. And I mean, nobody predicted it. And as you break down the market, you're talking about the very companies that were not supposed to do well. Think Tesla. I mean, you know, Elon Musk is all wound up with Twitter now. How can Tesla do well? Except it does. Does incredibly well. What is it, up 80%+ for the quarter? For the quarter. These companies weren't supposed to do any good at all. And certainly those overpriced tech stocks were no way going to do well. They don't have any income or very little and so on and so forth. Now, the point of this is not to just make fun of the, quotes, experts. But think about that. Think about how much energy we spend listening to the experts be wrong. How much energy we spend listening to people babble about the future when all we can know is what has happened, what is happening right now, and then pretend that that's what's going to happen in the future. And they do a great job of that, don't they? They tell you what happened today, what happened in the last 5 minutes. and tell you why then stocks are up, implying that that's what's going to happen tomorrow with careful analysis. Analysis of what? What actually just happened? Thank you. That's amazing. And pointless. It's truly stunning how much time we spend on the unknowable. This world is completely upside down. Indictment of a president? Really? Wow. It's just weird. I mean, this is just like one little thing. You know, covering up the origins of COVID. Really? It's weird. It's gotten so weird. We don't recognize our country and the people that live in it. A military that's so woke, we're worried about whether we can defend ourselves. It's weird. Really weird. So in this quarter, we have a banking crisis. World is upside down. And tech stocks go up 17% as we head closer to a recession. And it's just gotten messier and messier in Washington, D.C. Amazing. Amazing. Markets are so resilient. Because what they are corporations making money. Not this thing that sits out there. This thing that just exists on the side to reflect, quotes, the economy and certainty or not, or lack thereof. It's individual companies. And no, they don't design themselves to, or the market, I should say, doesn't design itself just to make people look stupid. But it does a great job of that too, as people continue to think they know stuff they don't, which is the future. We just don't know. We just don't know. And as we, you know, sit around on a quarterly basis and pick apart what sectors are working and which ones aren't and so on and so forth, and then we make our predictions of what's going to work the first half of the year, and then the second half of the year, this is what's going to happen. Precisely. The same silly behavior. We are going to try to predict what we can't. The future. But we're going to do it, and we're going to fill the airwaves with it, and we're going to fill our minds with it. We're going to spend a whole lot of time in front of the computer screen reading our favorite articles about what we already agree with so we can become filled with more data about what I already believe. No, minds are changed. I totally appreciate that. Why would I ever read something to learn when all I'm really doing is more indoctrination to myself of what I already know, already believe, I'm sure of? Just let me find some more data and I can become even more sure of myself about the end of the world and so on. I saw a clip. We have to take a break here, but I saw a clip yesterday from Glenn Beck, who is obviously incredibly well-spoken, right? I mean, guy does radio for a gazillion years, and syndicated national radio. And I couldn't help but think, and if you will, kind of dismiss some of his doomsday predictions, because that's what he does. He's like a professional doomsday guy. It's who he is. And when we get that way, get more data, facts, it doesn't just cement us so that we can never move from a position, but it frightens us. You know, an economic collapse, the dollar is going away, all the things, you can go, yeah, I know, I heard that, and I agree with him. He's so super smart. And the end of the world was going to be, I don't know, 20 years ago with Glenn? And I don't just mean like an economic, oh, yeah, he was wrong about this, or then a little inflation, he was wrong. No, he was wrong about everything, including literally like the end of the world. I think he became a, quotes, prophet for a while. And I'm not saying this to just put down Glenn Beck. My point being, this is rampant out there. There's so much of that. And it's so easy to believe in it. So easy. We'll talk about this a lot more. It's what's out there now. And when the world's upside down like this, and it seriously is, it's seriously weird. It's really easy to see the end, not a change time. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. Again, our number, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, that's great. Dave@petsofinancial.net. You know, my sweet wife just texted me and to let me know that there was some truth in what Glenn Beck was saying. That's not at all what I'm saying. There's lots of truth in what he's saying. When the world is upside down, the world is full of evil. And in some ways, we almost celebrate it, right? We ignore it, most certainly. And right isn't right. It's so convoluted, right? I mean, it's just sometimes it boils down to something simple like, no, men can't have a baby. End of story. Beyond that, you're beyond stupid. You're beyond help. I can't help you. You're so stupid and ignorant of any fact that that the whole world is so bizarre. In that circumstance, what I'm saying is it's very, very easy to scare the snot out of people. I'm scared too. I am. I mean that, honestly. I just know that things tend to work out. They just do. Am I scared for this country? Yes. Am I scared for the very markets, the capitalism, the freedoms that we enjoy? Yes, I am. I am. I don't recognize this. I didn't recognize my daughter when she came back from college years ago. That conservative little Christian girl was completely changed. Oh, she's a wonderful woman, don't get me wrong. But I didn't recognize her after 1 year. This is upside down. It's bizarre. And this is what's happening and been happening for a long time. And the question really is, are we at the end or a change point? I believe a change point. That's what I think. So no, Is there some truth in what Glenn Beck and other end-of-the-worlders are saying? Sure. The world is full of evil. We don't recognize it. We don't recognize our country anymore. That's a problem. For sure. All right. Well, you hear the music. We're getting ready to roll to our commercial break, and then hour number two upcoming. Keep the faith, folks. We're not done yet. Hello, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And like I always say, these are my opinions only, and we are not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. Inconceivably dumb. It's just a waste of time. Frankly, it's not even that. It's worse. It steers us the wrong directions. Enough of that. One of the things I wanted to touch on again, we talked a little bit about it in the first hour. But I want to drive this point home as we're thinking about all the upside down world and how weird it is and frightening it is. And it is. How political, how angry. It's all those things. And it's awful hard to pull back from what we know, and that all of that is true, and pull back and see the innovation that capitalism, as represented by the markets and companies, is. It's really hard to see that. You see, fear sells. The end of the U.S. dollar, losing all our money in the banks, all of those things create tremendous fear. And the easiest thing to do always is to sell fear. People always buy it. They always have. Think, oh, 20, 30 years ago, it wasn't like this. Yes, it was. It was. 40 years ago, 50 years ago, fear sells. Buy gold. Put it away. It's the only thing that has real value. Okay, all right, got it. What's in your safe? Who cares, B-movie actor? Why would I listen to you? Dumb. But, you know, he played a cop, or I don't even know what he played. But why would I care what was in his safe? Stupid stuff. Fear sells. If you can just say guarantee, then you can get people to buy into a 10-year program, like an equity indexed annuity, that won't work and pays massive commissions. Fear sells. And then we get into this period of time, right, where we are completely upside down, have been for quite some time. And are we at the peak or are we at the end, right? Peak of stupidity or the end of America as we know it, the world as we know it. Because if America goes, the world isn't the same either. It's a strange time. But what I've always found is that we solve, and history says this, we always solve our problems. It was very dark in the 1930s, incredibly dark, not just in America, in the world, gave rise to Nazis and other unbelievably evil things. Remarkable. And it goes on. This country was very divided in the 1960s. It just goes on and all the way back because people are so flawed. But what keeps happening is that we keep innovating, creating, and growing. So the economy keeps growing, thus the markets keep growing. They work. And not all companies work. That's called creative destruction. If you don't do really well, you die. And somebody else takes all your business away and they grow. It's a beautiful thing. But through that all, everybody sells fear. And as I said, closing out the last hour, I am scared too. This is weird. A really weird world. But as the market showed you just this quarter, and I hate using short term, except it's like right in your face. Right now. The very things that couldn't work excelled in a short 3-month period. What you know isn't worth knowing. Yeah, that's a tough one. What you know isn't worth knowing. It's already priced in. The markets already know it, smarty pants. You think you're so flipping smart, smarter than everybody else, smarter than the bonehead right next to you. Good job. Real high bar to live by there, pal. We think we're so smart. We got it all figured out. Because we watch the news, we listen to the news, we digest the news. It's constant. In my ear, boom, 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 boom. A historic report, perhaps even with a little tinge of anger, injustice, melded into it. Gives me great clarity as I go about my day. Or not. Or not. What we know isn't worth knowing because the markets reflect the collective. The collective said that tech stocks were overpriced in 2022, heading into 2023. So what you knew by the time 23 got here was more than digested by the market. And it spat it out with a 17% and in many cases, 80% gains. You can't buy Tesla. Why would you do that? Don't you know? Couldn't buy any of those companies, could you? What you know isn't worth knowing. It's really hard to believe that because we all think we're smarter than that. And we're not. We're not. That's why we don't know the future. It's already being projected by the markets themselves, the collective, all of us. We believe X is reflected in the stock prices right now. And all we do is study, look at, digest to some bizarre degree all the data in the world. Throw a little angry opinion on top of that, and we can really get ourselves entrenched, can't we? We can really, really make it so you cannot change my mind. So I can become really certain about something I've never been right about, and that is what the future is. We're all wrong about it to some magnitude, most often large magnitudes. When we get it right, it's a really weird thing. And so it stands out in our minds like, wow. I'm some kind of visionary. It's really amazing how certain the fear mongers are. And that's what I'm saying. We can't succumb to this because this is why markets fly. When the pessimism gets so thick, prices reflect every bad outcome. And then they just rise. And the experts are just breathless about how something's changed. And then they're on it. And now they know. And they were pretending to be bullish all along and telling you why the tech stocks are working when just yesterday they were telling you why they couldn't. Work. Wouldn't work. and it confuses us. We're in a really bad place. I know that. I understand it. We all feel it. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. It doesn't mean we stop investing. It doesn't mean we try to figure it out. Let it run its course. You don't have to predict the future. When great corporations fall, you buy them. You don't run from them. You don't. I mean, that's a lesson all the time. It's just all the time. Well, what should you have done in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s? Now, what should you do? Always what you should do. What always works, 100% of the time, is to own great companies when they fall. Period. You don't run and buy a pretty shiny brick. That's been a great trade for 3 months. Really? Seriously? 3 months. Dow Jones Industrial Average, when I started in the industry 40 years ago, was at 800. So was gold. Lots of bad stuff. Lots of end-of-world discussions. What's in your safe? A pretty brick that doesn't do a darn thing. That's what's in my safe. Pretty bricks. Produces nothing. Can't become more productive. Just sits. But boy, oh boy, it's the only thing that has real value. That big bank account of mine doesn't have any real value. No, huh? Mm-mm. Crazy. We get caught on things. And when we're fearful, it's easy to do that. It's easy to do that. And then we see things like this quarter where the S&P itself is up 7%. The NASDAQ is up 17%. And as I said before, many individual companies are up more than 50%, particularly those that couldn't be up, shouldn't be. We've got bank failures. We've got inflation. We got JoJo. JoJo the monkey boy is the most powerful man in the world. Unbelievable. Amazing. Unbelievable evil around the world. We have a recession on the way. It's a remarkable time. And then the market takes off. And when we're able to take a step back and understand that markets are moving ahead in anticipation of what's coming, or maybe what's coming and then the other side of it. Does the market not know there's a recession coming? Really? You're the only one that knows it, thinks it, believes it? You're part of the collective. We all do. The market's thinking the other side. The other side of that. When earnings start to surge again instead of being cut. Look what happened this week with Micron. The worst quarterly loss in its history. And the stock soars 7% that day. Huh? Yeah, they lost boatloads of money. Sales were terrible. It was a horrifyingly bad quarter. And we're going to cut back, and we have to, and we're going to cut back on expenditures, and so on. That's the news. That's the news that the market expected. That knew it was coming. And now the market is thinking ahead. What happens when this is the bottom? And chip sales soar again. And they mint money again next year. And the market soars. That's what happens all the time. All the time. If you would have thought, wow, this is going to be the worst quarter ever, would you have bought stock? You're thinking now, not future. Markets think future. The collective does. Us, we do. We think tomorrow. And we place our bets, so to speak, today based on the future, not what happened. Not even what's happening. We may not do that intentionally. Most people don't. They place their bets today on today. Wrong. And that's why they're always losing money trading. Always. We got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. And once again, if you prefer email, it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to Basil. Basil, are you there?
I am here. Good morning, David.
Good morning, sir.
I have a couple of things, a little humor to lighten your thing. But you talked about your daughter attending college. I had similar but yet different experience. We are a family of first, second, third generation immigrants, multiracial, multilingual. We stick out in the crowd. But my young daughter, as an adolescent, read a classic book, Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. She was very impressed, thought it was a very fun book, and then attended major Idaho University. Gender studies class. And says, this is good. So she came back one day and says, Dad, I don't think you are getting your money's worth because these people are so bigoted. They're so mean. And I said, no, I think you just got inoculated. You got vaccination. So it worked out really well, but not the way they had thought. But a little bit of humor to lighten things. You know,
I like it.
Credit Suisse was bought out by UBS.
Yes.
UBS originally stood for Union Bank of Switzerland, right? And but I believe that the people who had stock in Credit Suisse got, what was it? They had to give 22 and a half shares to get one share of UBS. Is that right, something?
It's it was very little value left in Credit Suisse. It's a very odd structure. It's not one that would happen in America. I believe it would be thrown out by the courts because bondholders were not paid either, and stockholders are wiped out first. But go ahead.
So a little bit of humor. UBS now stands for You've Been Screwed.
Yeah, that's true. That is absolutely true. I think you have a good tagline there. Yes.
Okay. Thank you for your program and have a good day. Stay warm, stay dry. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Yeah, it is a very odd structure. I'm glad he brought that up because it's very different. And I understand in these circumstance why they did it, right? I mean, we all understand that. It's we've got to hurry up and stop this contagion from happening because Credit Suisse is a disaster. But why they left value to the shareholders at all, I am confused when you completely wiped out some of the bondholders. Very unusual. And I firmly believe would have been tossed out here in the States, just totally tossed out. I can't imagine not. But anyway, all right. So, it's interesting, too, this whole AI discussion, adding to the fear of today and also the distractions. So what's everybody talking about yesterday, last week? AI, an important discussion. Do we have it? Is it going to end the world? And a lot of really smart people think it is going to destroy civilization. Well, that's a pretty important discussion to have, don't you think? I think it's really super important. I don't know the answer. I'm not saying we need to stop AI. We need to have a 6-month pause. Now, it sounds smart. Let's figure this thing out. But is it smart? Because China's not going to stop. just no way. The epitome of evil in the world. Do I think Russia is going to stop? No. Of course not. So we stop, and then we die. But the discussion has to be had, right? We have to talk this through. We've got to try to figure this out. It's running fast, faster than anybody thought. Was this going to be 20 or 30 years out? Now it's a year or two. What happened? But here's what happened. A crazy political district attorney indicted a former president, so now we don't even have an important discussion. Instead, we talk about Donald Trump again. For gosh sakes. We can't even have important discussions. We're so distracted by the anger and the injustice right now. It's hard. It's a really hard circumstance now, isn't it? It is adding to our fear. We are so easily distracted, aren't we? Yeah, I thought I had ADD, you know, there goes a squirrel kind of a guy. Our society is way worse than that. We can't even stop discussions about Donald Trump anything. That's the most important thing in the world. Not Ukraine, not AI, not the recession. Politics all the time. Crazy, crazy stuff. Adds to that whole mix. All right. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petzlfinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petzlfinancial.net. I'll read a good email here in a second. But I want to also mention this. There's a lot going on out there with the banking situation, crisis, whatever. I know, you know, it's really easy. Let's just call us. Let's throw gas on the fire. Okay, it's a crisis. It's a slow rolling. It's a fast rolling. We're just at the beginning. Whatever. It's a crisis. Okay, because we have to report everything as an existential threat to all of humanity. Of course, if otherwise, it's just not news. Nobody's going to watch. Again, when you raise interest rates from 0 to 5, things break. Things break. And they're breaking. This unbelievably bad, as I said last week, talking about leadership and leadership everywhere, the Federal Reserve, particularly to my point last week, did a terrible job, and has for a long time. Terrible job. And we experimented with injecting trillions of dollars into our system. We have inflation. We finally did it. Thanks, JoJo. Thanks, Donald. All included. But particularly the fault belongs to the Federal Reserve, who implied, and the Treasury Department, thanks, Janet, that inflation wasn't going to be a problem. We could, in fact, borrow money at near zero interest rates, and it really would never be a problem, and just keep injecting money into the system. They broke it. And banks are a problem for that. But crisis? Nah. Throw a couple of boneheads out. These things are good. I mean, in many ways, when you think about it, it's like an earthquake. Little earthquakes are good. I mean, really good. You don't want to be in California after 20 years of no tremors, because the big one's coming. It relieves pressure when there's little things, little cracks, little shakes. It's when we don't have any and the pressure builds up. Boom. So when we lose stupid woke banks, that's like a little tremor. When Credit Suisse goes under, this is a bank that I don't know how it exists. They're so stupid. I mean, literally, so stupid. Every bad loan everywhere in the world, they're the ones that are the lead banker on it. It's truly remarkable. Truly remarkable how bad they are. So it shouldn't be a surprise that they go under. So I don't think that you equate that with this. But one of the things that comes out of it, too, is an overall, everything's fine, and I don't really know how the financial system works, and everything's fine until it's broken, and then people go, well, is my Schwab account okay? Because I saw the stock go down a lot. Is TD Ameritrade, Merrill Lynch taking my money and doing stuff with it? What do they do? Or is it safe? That's a fair question, because we operate in a world where, you know, there's a lot of trust and this is the way the system works and it's okay and it's all good. And there's certain, you know, reasons to feel good about it, right? If regulators, rules, and just kind of customs, right? This is the way it works. I don't really understand it, but that's the way it's always been. So I'm okay with that. And then we have something like this, and it, all of a sudden you go, what? Are they like a bank? I mean, can I be like waiting in line? Are my deposits insured? Those kinds of things. And so I think it's worth saying the custodians, whether it's a mutual fund company, you give your money to a Franklin Funds, a Vanguard, whatever it is, right? And you have a mutual fund, where does that money go? Well, it's invested, and they're custodians. They can't take that money and go lend it out to somebody else. They can only buy securities and hold them in an account for you. So if they go out of business, you still have your securities. You still have your money. And on a bigger scale, Schwab, TD, Ameritrade, E-Trade, all of them, they have banking operations as well. But they're small compared to the custody business. And they're separate. And so when we think about it, there's lots of things to be worried about. But one of them isn't your custodian. It has SIPC insurance and all those things too. But what if I have more than $250,000? All those things I understand. They're not to be worried about. You can ask. And there's lots of information out there. But don't grab a quotes crisis, a banking crisis, and turn that into waking up at 3 a.m. afraid your money is going to disappear out of the investment account, because it's not. Period. It's not. Custodian is different. They custody the assets. They get a little tiny bit of money to hold the assets, to trade the assets, to keep track of interest and dividends and all of those things. And when you sell, to transfer it to somebody else, and you buy to transfer into your account. That's what a custodian does. They don't take that money and commingle it with anything else and loan it out. They don't. So it's times like this where we question things we never even knew about, right? It's like we just assumed that it's okay. It's in Schwab. It's okay. It's in E-Trade. It's okay. It's at Merrill Lynch. And now we're like, wait a minute, what's going on? And again, back to fear sells. So why not write a few articles about how you really need to cash out, go buy gold from us, and it'll all be okay. Right? All right, real quick here. Steve, thank you for your email. He writes, you have educated us on not making stupid decisions. I appreciate that. The Wall Street Journal had a quote several decades ago that said something like this. Be thankful for the stupid investors, for without them, we couldn't make money. Amen to that. That's true. I think they were referring to the fact that for me to sell an equity at a high price, someone else must buy it when it is overpriced. Alternatively, to buy low, somebody else must be willing to sell it. What do you think? Thanks for the great show and even better education. Steve, thank you. Thank you for the compliment, too. Appreciate it. Okay. It's absolutely true. But I'm going to add one more thing. It's not just, oh, dumb investors. Of course, people are emotional. We are nothing more than human beings anyway. Therefore, we are pure emotion wrapped in skin. We think we're smart. We think we're not emotional, that we make good decisions in a non-emotional way. But we don't. We can control it sometimes to a certain degree, but not thinking we're emotional is crazy. But we're driven to do that. And that's easy to make fun of. But also, what we have to understand, too, is that, again, prices and bad behavior, all those things reflect the ease that it is to make 10% a year doing nothing except owning stocks of the great corporations in the world. That's it. That's all you have to do. You get 10% a year. You get more than anything else in the whole wide world. More than anything else. By so far, it's not even close. Sounds pretty easy. Almost illegal. You mean I don't have to do anything? Yeah, that's correct. You mean I just like buy this and that's it? I don't have to show up at work? Nope, not allowed to. Crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And the reason that you're paid so much is because people don't get that simple fact. They don't. They turn it into a game of trading, a game of guessing, you know, like putting 10 bucks on the Knicks game with your cell phone. Why not put 10 bucks on Amazon this morning? Right on your cell phone. Trade it. Fun. Exciting. They don't invest. They trade. They speculate. Short term. And that doesn't work. And so as we think about that, if you will, the dumb investors, they don't just get out of the bottoms. I get that. Lots of people do. And sometimes they learn and then they grow from it, right? They do. They come back. So as we look at all of this and think about it, we recognize that all of those returns would not be possible if everybody correctly priced stocks. Then they would be like five times as high with no upside because we would just simply understand that they grow. And then 10% wouldn't be what we get. It'd be like five. Because prices would reflect that. All right, our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Dave at petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, that's our number if you'd like to join us. Right now, let's go ahead and go to Denny in Nampa. Denny, thanks for calling.
Dave, I've not been able to listen to your program for a while. Had other commitments with my church. My question I have today is what about the January 2022 money in payment, the U.S. dollar in the age of digital and transformation? Part of it's supposed to go in phase one is to start effectively on Monday, April 3rd. on larger banks, and I want to know, get your opinion of it. My wife and I have checked at our two credit unions we have and her bank that she has, which is Wells Fargo. All we're getting is the runaround from everybody that, oh, we're not going to have the digital. You don't worry about the digital age of a digital transformation with the CBDCs in the United States.
Well, I'm not worried about the digital. I don't want it to happen. I'm not as worried about people as that are as you are, for example. I think that digital is on its way. Don't get me wrong.
I'm really worried about it and concerned with my retirement. I have a CalPERS. My brother-in-law has a CalSTRS from teachers. Yes, we're in Idaho, but that still has an effect on us if, you know, they have investments.
Well, I understand, but they have investments. We have stocks. We have bonds. We all do personally. It affects all of us if those were to go to zero. Why would a digital currency in your mind cause the investments for the pensions and or all of us to go to zero?
Well, we've got cash and money also in other areas of their bank, and we'd hate to see it suddenly disappear or suddenly say, okay, with your ESG scores, you're not going to be able to buy groceries. You're not going to be able to pay utilities. You're not going to be able to buy gas and oil for your vehicles. You're not going to be able to have repairs. You're not going to have a co-payment and pay for that on your medications.
Well, I understand the if you will, the concern of control in a world where it appears that the government can't stop, certainly the people in charge. When the rules aren't working out well, like this new inflation, whatever it was, you know, to throw money at green energy, they've already just decided that they're not going to go with the rule of law. They're going to go ahead and just do their own thing. So I understand that. But I'm not sure why or where we're taking from a digital currency, which is also your Apple Pay, which is your PayPal, which is your credit card, are all digitalized. And we all use it like crazy. And there are many places that don't even take cash anymore, as we know. And why that mm-hmm. turns into all of these other things, I'm not sure. But it does. And that's what fear does. I am not worried about my money disappearing if they have cash or whatever in my savings box or whatever in there. I don't think it becomes worthless because they digitalize it. There's going to be a time where you say, okay, we're not going to accept currency anymore. Fine. That doesn't mean you don't have a digital wallet. And I just don't see, I don't like the control. I hate that, as you know, if you've listened to this program at all. I see that as another impeachment of my freedoms. And I don't like that. But I don't see this as a world-ending event at all. And I don't want it to come, but it is coming. It's been coming for quite some time. Cash is, for dinosaurs like me, now my kids don't carry much cash or any. It's all digital to them. It always has been. So the world is changing, but I don't want to conflate that with all of these other things that the digital currency is going to take away all my other rights. I'm not sure that that's true, and I'm not sure that it isn't also equally true regardless, right? They are trying to take away all of my freedoms, period.
Well, with China and Russia not going to be taking any more American dollars, and you have several other foreign countries that are not going to be taking any American U.S. dollars, is not our dollars going to be as worthless as Venezuela and some of the other countries now that their dollars are worthless on the paper it's written on?
Denny, that's a great point. It's not going to happen. First of all, China is not going to say we're not accepting dollars. They have billions of dollars of U.S. currency-backed dollars in their treasury. So does Russia. And the idea that they're going to create a global currency and exclude the U.S., who's going to trust China? I mean, I just simply ask that question. Why would you get in bed with China? You know they will kill you, period. Why would you do it? Well, you're not. You're certainly not going to trust your currency and say, I'm going to get rid of that U.S. dollar. And I don't know what Brazil's doing, making nice with China, but go ahead. That's great. That's short-term thinking.